1492, Columbus discovered America. Many people believe that his first contact was with the Indians. Well, that isn't quite true. In fact, a very bizarre and never revealed story did, in fact, occur. While Columbus and his men disembarked from the Mayflower and the Santa Maria, Zechariah, Columbus's book boy, wrote in his diary, which he kept in his pillow, he said, "A warning came from the beachhead. It was heard all throughout the area. Here comes the colonel. Here comes the colonel."
Oh, yeah. There they go again. I wasn't even there. I wasn't there when Columbus landed. Smart guy. Yeah, we share the same... We share the building with a number of different studios, and the one down the hall is auditions for Comedy Central. They sneak in here and give us a hard time at a serious science program. Yes, they do. Well, go away. Anyway, and not only that, I don't think Columbus landed with the Mayflower. He didn't land with the Mayflower. All right. Welcome back. The second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network. Exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation, all sorts of different things. In just a minute, we're going to check in with Dr. Pravin Chipote. He's a research scientist and going to tell us a little bit more about micro-community detection and vulnerability identification for large critical networks. This is kind of a follow-up on what we heard in the first half hour with Vincent Stridapan. He's with the Department of Homeland Security Advanced Research Project Agency, Science and Technology. Both of them are going to be presenting at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference that's going on 10, 11, and 12 in Boston, Massachusetts in May. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we keep here on the set. Rummage around in the coin jar a little bit, because we got to pay the fountain his due and ask today's query.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
Okay, I see we have aroused and awakened the spirit of the fountain, who knows all, sees all, hears all, and tells all for a price. That's why we had to throw in the coins. All right, oh, spirit of the fountain, who portrayed Sergeant Joe Friday on TV in the 1950s? You know your old TV, old spirit of the fountain? Who portrayed Sergeant Joe Friday on TV in the 1950s?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell.
Cannot fool the spirit of the fountain, who knows his old television. Who portrayed Sergeant Joe Friday on TV in the 1950s? If you said Jack Webb, you're right. I think he created the show too, didn't he? Dragnet, that was it, yes. Jack Webb on Dragnet in the early 1950s. Okay, already. Enough of this nonsense and back to our program. Yes, the great music of the Science News Radio Network studio band takes us over to our next interview. This is with Dr. Pravin Chipote. He's got a talk he's giving at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference called Micro-Community Detection and Vulnerability Identification for Large Critical Networks. And this kind of goes hand in hand with what we heard in the first half hour with Vincent Stridapan, who's the Mobile Security R&D Program Manager, Cybersecurity Division at the Homeland Security Advanced Research Project Agency, the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate. So this may give us a little bit more feeling for protecting our micro networks. We need to listen carefully because Dr. Pravin Chipote is a little hard to understand, and I asked him to repeat himself a couple of times, and I kind of repeat the stuff that he has said for clarification, but I think it'll get through. Okay, right now we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Dr. Pravin Chipote. He's a research scientist at iLab, the Department of Computer Science, the College of Engineering, North Carolina, A&T State University in Greensboro. And he's working on a project funded by the Department of Defense entitled A Novel Framework for Community Detection in Large Networks. Welcome to the program, Dr. Chipote.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, for a nice introduction.
I beg pardon?
Yeah, thank you for a nice introduction.
Oh, okay, sure. We're really glad to have you. You're going to be a speaker at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference, and the title of your paper is Micro Community Detection and Vulnerability Identification for Large Critical Networks. Kind of give us an overview. What is the meat and potatoes of the presentation?
Yeah, considering the today's network, there are the critical networks, complex networks, communication network, power grid network, and there are the large social networks. So day by day, these networks are important for the day-to-day operations of this nation's infrastructure. But at the same time, as these networks are smart, these networks also have a lot of vulnerabilities. So these networks are also the prime targets for different attacks, and there are different vulnerabilities. So my research is mainly focused on detecting the very micro level communities, or what I say is the what is happening inside the network. So there are the different activities which are happening inside the network, positive and negative. So, for example, if I have to identify the communities based on any illegal activities or any terrorist activities, so I am able to identify any kind of interaction going on in a network. So it may be any large geographic area, or it may be any type of infrastructure. So if there is some kind of operations going on, or if there is some kind of interaction going on, so we develop a micro community clustering algorithm and the method. So this is help us to go inside the networks, identify the very critical elements based on the interaction. So we model the network both from the structural and functional aspects. So considering the interaction between the various elements, node, link, and what is the functional element, that is the what is happening in the network. So if there is any kind of interaction, so we compute the community energy. So we use this Fielder eigenvector and the spectral bisection method to go inside network and identify the community energy for the positive and negative cause, and then form the micro community cluster to go inside the network to find any suspicious or vulnerable element. So this research will help for Department of Defense as well as Department of Homeland Security to specifically identify possible cyber physical attacks.
Okay, so what you're really doing then is on the micro level, you're looking at SCADA networks and other networks like that where somebody may be intruding and covertly manipulating the network where otherwise it would not be easily found. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, means if it is any kind of a network which exists in any form, it may be the complex technological like communication, smart grid, or any kind of social network or social activities. So we are able to identify any activities and what are the things, communities they exist. Based on that, so if we have to identify very specific suspicious terrorist group or any kind of network. So in any region in the world, so or we can go in deep and identify any specific groups.
Now, is this a thorough checking of the network as it goes about its daily operation, or is this spot checking here and there of various different networks to see if it's been compromised?
Yeah, I mean, if we have the test network, so in test network, if there is already the data available, so we can also test that, and you have to also test in real time based on the day-to-day activities, what is going on, so we can also identify activities inside the network.
Yeah, well, this is kind of reminds me of the Stuxnet worm a few years ago that affected Iran. There was a whole lot of compromises with their stated network, and it took quite a while for them to figure out that there was something wrong. But what with your methods, it will be easier to detect earlier and more thoroughly, almost instantaneously. I guess alarms will go off, or you will just see aberrations and be able to report that to the people that are a part of the security of the network. Is that right?
Yeah. So more to add, if Department of Homeland Security want to check the, what is the information spreading or information contained in certain events, or what is the information exchange in real world, so we can easily track that information, that which group members or which community members are doing that and find their identity. So we are able to identify our creation of cyber geographic profile of such groups. So this will possibly help DHS and DOD for preventing possible cyber physical attacks.
All right, well, this micro-community detection and vulnerability identification for large critical networks, is this currently in the experimental state, or are we deploying this right now in a widespread areas with our networks around the country?
At present, we are experimenting it with the large networks, complex network and social network. So it is at the experimenting state, but in this Homeland Security Conference, we are presenting some results, some testing results on certain networks. So we'll be presenting our experimentation results in this paper.
And you'll be able to give some demonstrations of this at the conference when you're at the Homeland Security Technology Conference and giving your speech. You're going to be able to actually demonstrate, I suppose, these things for the audience. Is that right?
Yeah. We'll demonstrate certain results. So that means how this research is applied to the different networks and how this can be applied by, I mean, used by DHS and DOD for tracking individuals in the insurgency networks and identify the communities in this network to optimize the defense and offense strategies. So all these things will be presented during the conference.
All right. Well, what have we missed? What haven't I asked you? What is it you're going to want to be sure and get out of the conference that I have forgotten to bring up?
Can you repeat, sir?
I was wondering what I have failed to ask you. What is it that you want to bring up at the conference that I have failed to ask you about this morning?
I think you asked me all the important aspects of my work and applicability. So more importantly, how this technology will be useful in day-to-day life handling the today's problem, because the world is facing a lot of problems and United States can play a major role. So how this technology can be useful for United States as well as for the world for handling the real-time situations or problems.
Well, Dr. Tripathi, do you have a look into the future for us? Could you put on your thinking cap and maybe look down the road 5, 10, 15, or 20 years or so and give us a peek at what you see as far as the future?
Yeah, definitely. This research will go beyond and will definitely, and now I'm working for this Department of Defense, So definitely this research will be a very bring as a top-notch technology. So this will able to solve most of the problem for the possible terrorist and cyber physical attacks. So this will be the very prominent technology for United States, and also will be useful for the world.
All right, pretty fascinating stuff, Doctor. One more thing before we go. How about a word of wisdom? I know that you probably have had a lot of mentors during the course of your career, and you probably have mentored other people. And if you were to give a student or a friend or something, somebody, a word of wisdom, maybe words to live by, kind of a moral creed or something like that, what would you say?
Definitely this one has to learn the real-time problem, and one has to apply, and one has to spread the knowledge on, so that they can also see, identify the real-time situation and use our knowledge to this problem of the real world. So because we have to give something back to the society, so this is the real task of we engineers. Identify and work for the solution of the real world. So this is my simple word of wisdom.
Well, Dr. Praveen Shapoti, it's been so nice to have you with us. You're a research scientist at iLab, Department of Computer Science, College of Engineering in North Carolina, A&T State University in Greensboro, working on a project funded by the Department of Defense entitled A Novel Framework for Community Detection in Large Networks. You've been most informative. We're really glad you're working on this. We think it is absolutely vital. And thank you for taking your time to be with us today.
Thank you for giving me a chance for interviewing. Thank you very much.
Okay, as promised, here's that story on the coming of the Little Ice Age. It seems that India, China, and Japan are all reporting that we could be having a Little Ice Age. This is a story out of the Times of India, and I'm going to kind of scan it for us here. And it goes something like this. Our blazing sun has been eerily turning quiet and growing less active over the last two decades, according to this. Scientists and astronomers from Physical Research Laboratory in India and their counterparts in China and Japan are now relying on fresh evidence to indicate that we may be heading for another little ice age or even a more extended period of low solar activity. Something they're calling a Maunder minimum, that's Maunder minimum, by 2020. And they say it's indicated by the lower than average sunspot number count. Excuse me. The Maunder minimum was a period, according to the story, between 1645 and 1715 AD, when the sun was almost completely spotless, and when Europe and much of the Earth witnessed extremely harsh winters. Well, we know that historically, don't we? So, okay. So in a recently published research, a 20-year decline in solar photospheric magnetic field, interheliospheric signatures, and possible implications published in the Journal of Geophysical Research, recently astronomers indicate that over the last 20 years, there's been a steady decline in the sun's photospheric, that would be the sun's surface, and interplanetary or heliospheric magnetic fields. This is indicated by a drastic decline in the number of sunspots on the surface and a corresponding decrease in solar wind microturbulence in the sun's last two 11-year solar cycles. We're currently in solar cycle 24, which is expected to end sometime in 2020. So, during peak solar cycle periods, this goes on to say, the number of sunspots increased to 200. They dropped to as low as 50 during the solar cycle just preceding the Maunder minimum. So, the research paper indicates that in solar cycle 23, there were a minimum average number of 75 sunspots towards the end of the cycle, while the peak number of sunspots in our current solar cycle, 24, on November 2013, was 62, and this number has been steadily decreasing ever since. And the story in the Times of India goes on to say that during Maunder minimum, the sun becomes quiet, indicated by the near disappearance of sunspots that are typically present in the last 11,000 years. There have been 27 Maunder minimums, says the Dean of Physical Research Laboratory, P. Jana. I'm going to spell this for you. J-A-N-A-R-D-H-A-N, who is the lead author of the research paper, along with six others, which includes Sistana Kumar Bisoi, that'd be B-I-S-O-I, of Chinese Academy of Sciences. I'm going to spell these for you, in Beijing, and K-F-U-J-I-K-I and M-T-O-K-U-M-A-R-U of Nagoya University in Japan. El Jose and R. Spitharan of PRL Space and Atmospheric Science Division, and this guy by the name of S-A-N-A-N-T-H-A-K-R-I-S-H-N-A-N, I'm not real good with the pronunciation of these foreign words, of the Department of Electronic Sciences at Pune University. The Maunder minimum condition is predicting to intensify beyond cycle 25 or between 2030 and 2040 during the solar cycle 26. So take this for what it's worth. Of course, we know, you know, critics are saying that, Japan, China, and India all like to use a lot of coal. So they may very well like to be predicting another ice age. So you can take this for what it's worth. Anyway, that's the latest thing on the Ice Age, as promised here on the Science News Radio Network. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to the this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
The mass of technology that we have in this country, which in the innovation is just astounding. So what everybody tends to do is they tend to rely on the Internet. So you put things out on the Internet asking for information, and you're relying for relying on the information which comes back. If you send something out on the Internet, it's kind of like NASA sending something out to deep space. You don't know who's going to receive it, and you don't know if they do receive it, if they're going to understand it. But if you're a small business, you can look at that stuff and your eyes will glaze over, because you don't know, well, where can my technology possibly come in? Where can my technology be applied to this? So you have an inefficient way of finding technologies. I mean, there's way too much for any agency to be able to effectively, you know, digest this. Or the market. The market, of course, is dynamic. It's self-correcting. It does what the right thing is eventually. But if there's ways that we can figure out how to find technology innovation and apply technology innovation and get it to the right people, I think we can take some of the talent in this country and really, you know, ramp up what we've been able to do with it. Stephen G. Smith, I'm the Director of Disaster Planning and Risk Management at the U.S. Small Business Administration, and I'm also the coordinator of SBA's Advanced Defense Technology Innovation Clusters.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949, and please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
You live tomorrow, 'cause you know it will be there. I am waiting. waiting for you. I am waiting for you. I